happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum, and I'm sitting with Anne in front of a rainbow flag.
I'm Ann Northrup. The Park Service has not taken down this rainbow flag, although we may at the end of the show, but we will.
It looks great.
It does look great, and we will talk about it some more when we get to that portion of the program.
We will, of course, later on remember Jesse Jackson, but we're going to talk about the conflict over the flying of a rainbow flag at the Stonewall Monument because it has intensified.
It has aroused a lot of emotions, which is great. And also great, a Republican judge orders the slavery exhibit that Trump had removed in Philadelphia be restored at its historic site.
Maybe a judge will order the rainbow flag
restored.
Well,
I'm hoping that that will actually be
a very similar lawsuit.
A precedent for restoration of the flag.
Kristi Noem and Corey Lewandowski take heterosexual scandal and privilege sky high.
As they have. Trump is pushing an overt, avowed...
Unapologetic
white supremacist for a top State Department job.
Idaho has moved to invalidate 16 local laws in the state protecting LGBTQ rights.
Georgia Republicans step up their war on transgender health care. And not just for minors. Of course, that's true here in New York City, too.
Yes, exactly. We're a lot of sins here as well. Anderson Cooper is out at 60 Minutes, and Rob Shuter says he was pushed out.
We remember this week a number of major heroes who've died. Certainly civil rights leader and ally Jesse Jackson. A pioneering Buffalo, New York lesbian activist. Two prominent authors. And a longtime theater journalist.
The German chancellor, Friedrich Merz, says the culture war of the MAGA movement is not ours.
Thank you. Secretary of State Rubio, masquerading as a reasonable person, allies with anti-LGBTQ Hungarian fascist leader Orban.
Awful. The European Parliament pushes for the full recognition of transgender women as women.
And the Church of England has voted to halt work on treating same-sex couples equally.
Big protest in Washington against HHS rules banning transgender-affirming care for youth, and 25 were arrested.
Andy reviews, went back to see Oh Mary with John Cameron Mitchell starring in it this time. Along with our associate producer, Bill Ballman, and he will tell us what he thought of the current iteration.
So keep hope alive. First phrase that comes to mind with Jesse Jackson. You know, we have a picture of him there. He did extraordinary things as an ally. This is at a 1992 rally outside the Democratic Convention when he was not a candidate, an AIDS rally that we had. And, you know, I was there for his 1984 speech. I was a delegate for him. At the Democratic Convention, and in that wonderful address, he really integrated LGBTQ references. You know, he said things like, the flag is red, white, and blue, but our nation is a rainbow. Rainbow, red, yellow, brown, black, and white. And, you know, he put us in the list of groups with all the groups that he listed. And so, you know, said lesbians and gays at the 1984 convention. You know, this is when Walter Mondale, who was the nominee, couldn't get the words out of his mouth.
Yeah. Well, we'll go into more detail about Jesse Jackson and all the things he did, including speaking at the 1987 March on Washington.
We'll show you that.
But the headline this week, of course, is the stealing of the rainbow flag by the federal government from the federal Stonewall National Monument here in New York City from Little Christopher Park. It was a shock for us to wake up on, I guess, Monday morning. And the workers at the Stonewall Inn showed up for work and said, hey, wait a minute. What happened to the flag in the park? It's gone.
The workers didn't know it was gone?
Well, it happened overnight.
Oh, I mean, so who's...
The Stonewall Inn staff showed up.
I got it.
And said,
Stonewall Inn is actually part of the monument.
Yes, but they don't deal with the flag that I know of.
And they're not controlled by the federal government.
Certainly not. But they said, wait, where's the flag? The whistle was blown. Gay City News put out an alert. And
well, Matt Tracy broke the story. Yeah.
And so people just started freaking out because the flag was had disappeared. People immediately rushed down there. Yes, it's gone. And then they said, all right, we're going to put up another one. We're not going to be controlled by the federal government, even though we gave them the land. It was city land that we gave to the federal government so that they would create a national monument. Well, but no one anticipated the election of Donald Trump.
Not very smart.
Well,
you have to think about these things.
Come on.
You're turning it over to a federal government that at the time was
very friendly.
That cannot even pass a regular gay rights bill, sexual orientation.
New York City has not always been entirely friendly either.
I've written about that my whole life.
But
I'm just saying you are turning it over to a government that is anti-gay. I mean, you had a nice president. You know, who only came around on same-sex marriage in his second term.
Well, little did we imagine that when you establish a national monument that anyone of any stripe could come in and suddenly destroy it.
And, of course, under Trump, and again, I'll go back, I kind of figured Trump would get rid of it as a national monument when he came in 2017, but he didn't. He was keeping his powder dry. And because he was going to run for re-election. Now he's just going after everybody. And we're going to, we'll talk about what's going on in Philadelphia and everywhere.
So the federal government says, look, we have these regulations. The only thing that can fly at a national park or monument like this is the Stars and Stripes, the POWMIA flag, and maybe a few relevant exceptions.
Like a Confederate flag.
Yes.
At the Gettysburg. Although they say they passed a law that says you can't sell Confederate flags there.
Big deal.
I'm just saying they have all these rules, but they're really not following them.
Well, the point is the rule they have that allows the flying of the Confederate flag at Gettysburg should also allow the flying of the rainbow flag at the Stonewall National Monument.
You can
Monument.
Argue. I mean, look.
Well, that's what a lot of what the lawsuit is about.
I love the rainbow flag. Let's be clear. We weren't waving rainbow flags in 1969 at Stonewall.
No, it was invented in 1978 by Gilbert Baker and others. In San Francisco. But that dispute is still going on. But this particular flag was adopted by the Museum of Modern Art as a symbol.
As the first flag that they've ever had in the Museum of Modern Art.
Because it's more than just a flag. It has so much political and personal content. Federal government, pay attention. So Gilbert gave me this flag. We were very good friends. And he signed it right here. Gilbert Baker, number 4. I think our director can get maybe a shot of that. But this is a lovely flag. Just the 6 colors that are sort of standard these days. He's zooming in. Can you get that, Rich? Look at the monitor, see if he's getting that. Yes, there it is. Gilbert Baker, number 4.
Okay.
So we thought we would fly our rainbow flag this week.
And so we had that rally where they didn't jump the fence and put the flag back up. And then they had a big gathering on Thursday of last week after we taped. And there you are, the cover of the Daily News. There's J.W. Walker and others. Who else?
Mariah Lopez.
Right. And others Well, first of all, you had a bunch of politicians acting like they were at Iwo Jima carrying the pole and then putting, they put up
and then short pole.
And then they said, no, no, we want this on the pole. See, understand, there was no flagpole in that area.
Right.
President Biden put that up,
yes. Allowed
that to be put up.
And just to be more complicated, there's another little patch of land outside this area that the city still controls, where there is a bigger flagpole that has the stars and stripes.
Which is what we did when we couldn't get a rainbow flag in the park under the first
flag.
Trump administration.
So we're getting too complicated.
Well, it is very complicated.
But that act of defiance cover of the Daily News is important, because what happened was, first of all, the federal government came in after taking down the rainbow flag, put up an American flag, and we all go,
well,
that's
I'm not
insane.
Against having an American flag at a national monument
well,
park.
This one, I think, has to be dominated by the rainbow flag. But then the politicians all announced, we're going to re-raise the rainbow flag. Everybody come. So a couple thousand people showed up at the park on Thursday afternoon. And the politicians carry in the flag on their little aluminum pole, and they put the pole in the ground and with the flag on it. But it's several feet below the American flag, and it's not attached to the
main pole.
Flagpole. And people start yelling at them, cowards, put it up higher.
I was covering these things, and I was yelling at them the whole time. I said, stop the speeches and put the flag up.
Well, exactly. That's always true.
That's what we were there for. Not to listen to lectures about how angry we are. Of course we're angry.
The crowd really rebelled against the politicians, and they sort of slunk off. And that's when Jay and Mariah and a couple of others either jumped the fence or forced their way in and grabbed the rope on the American flag that was on the flagpole, pulled it down somewhat, took out some zip ties, took out some scissors, attached the rainbow flag to the spot where the American flag was, so they're now back-to-back. But because of the way it was hung, the rainbow flag was actually a couple inches higher. I said to Jay, you're going to jail.
And also somewhat obscure. You also said that this configuration would last about 20 minutes.
I did.
And the flag... They've moved the rainbow flag. I don't know who did it, but the rainbow flag was moved below the American flag.
Of course.
And it's still up.
Yes.
We don't know at this very moment.
Well,
but,
I think they're scared of us. I think they're afraid if they took it down completely again, they would have a real riot on their hands.
Because Stonewall was a riot.
At any rate, this is big news in New York. Now, Senator Schumer and Representative Goldman running for re-election in a desperate fight, is showing up everywhere. They are proposing a bill in Congress to make the rainbow flag an official congressional flag to try to make it more legitimate.
And they say it would be allowed in any park.
Yeah.
Any federal government building. It would be a federally designated flag. But is it this flag? Is it the Progress flag? Is it a variety of rainbow flags? None of this has really been worked out. And I have to say, it really all should be done in consultation with the community. There should be a big meeting about this. How do we want to go forward? I made the suggestion at the press conference, you know, as I have and others have, get rid of the national monument status, let us control it, and we don't have to have these fights anymore.
Give it back to the city.
But there are plenty of people in the community who really want to hang on to a national monument.
Well, as we have said with some confusion for the first 10 minutes of this program, neither entity, the federal government or the city government, is blameless in any of this.
Right.
So who do you give it to? But at the moment, we'd favor the city, but who knows who could be the mayor down the pike. But, Stephen Love Menendez, who has been an absolute hero.
Picture of him with
Shirley McKinney.
Shirley McKinney was the administrator of this site.
From the Park Service.
She was wonderful. She just retired.
Both of them. Fantastic. But they weren't consulted in any of this. And Michael Petrelis, who was very involved in getting the monument declared and raising the flag originally, no talking to him. So it has been the politicians who've taken over this.
And, well, and now the lawyers, because Lambda Legal Defense and a private law firm are suing on behalf of some LGBTQ groups, including the Gilbert Baker Foundation and local progressive groups, and to say you can't take this out, you have to put it back.
Meanwhile, the Interior Department asked about all this, says, oh, no. No exceptions. Cannot fly that flag.
Well, they're not just saying no exceptions. They're totally dismissive. This is just a stunt. This is pageantry. I mean, it's just like Pam Bondi at the hearing. They
Absolutely.
Have to ridicule you. And they go after, and they name Mamdani, who has really had nothing to
do
with this.
Because people have died in the cold on the street. That's their answer.
Yeah.
Why isn't he dealing with that rather than this flag? Because they don't want to talk about
it. Like you give a damn in the Trump White House about people dying on the streets.
So do you have that picture of just the isolated flag of the Park Service version? Can we put that up? We thought we might have solved this, yes, by for a long time it was the Progress flag with the
Park Service.
The Park Service insignia on it.
And it says a Stonewall National Monument established 2016.
And we thought, man, you can't get more official than that. But no, they didn't like that. But there have been a variety of versions of the flag. There it is, originally being raised by Stephen and Shirley and Miss Simone.
But if you want to hear some of the anger, Melissa Sklars, who was a veteran, a transgender activist for LGBTQ rights, vice president of the Stonewall Democratic Club, spoke at the Schumer little rally.
Hi, everyone. Thank you, Senator Schumer. Coldest winter in 30 years, and Senator Schumer doesn't need an overcoat. I'm not that tough. So my name is Melissa Sklars. I'm vice president of Stonewall Democrats. I'm one of two transgender elected officials here in New York.
Yes.
In 1986, 40 years ago, New York City passed its gay rights bill. Our community came together, all the different parts, all the different elements, to make sure everyone was protected and covered, to make sure that all LGBTQ people are protected here in New York City. And now, Donald Trump and his mass minions have descended around the United States of America. Cruelty is the message, rage and fear. And they can't take us on. We have shown we know how to fight, we know how to persevere, we know how to make a difference for us and the generations that follow us. And so they attack our symbols instead. We will not tolerate this. We will go to war. We have been doing it. It has been 13 months. He has gone to war against immigrants and women and people of color and the elderly and young. And now, just for the hell of it, he's going to attack our queer symbols. New York will fight back. New York has always fought back. I am ready for this, as are all my friends. Thank you to Alan Roscoe for the work he did in 1986 along with Andy Hum. This is not the end. This is just the beginning. Thank you.
Yes.
Well, thank you, Melissa. You're very kind. And after that press conference, people were hanging around, and there was a mother and her child putting up rainbow flags. Transgender flags, pink and white. On the fence. And people, I don't know, you don't have that picture? Okay.
It just went away. I'll get it.
It'll come back.
Okay.
But what I love about that is the epitome of the grassroots activism.
They sold the flags themselves.
Yes. And they...
Betsy Ross.
And just put them on the fence around the park, and it was such a beautiful gesture and so lovely to see.
And again, if this controversy goes on, if they really try to freeze us out, there are options like putting up more rainbow flags on the sidewalks that the federal government does not control.
Yes, there they are, the mother and child with the trans
flags. They were so proud.
Oh, so adorable. So happy to see that. And that is the kind of spirit and activism that is always been fundamental to our community and will continue.
These aren't particularly activists. They're just people who read about it and felt like they needed to make a statement.
And a lot of people have been coming by from out of town to see it.
Which has also been happening at, of course, all the ICE, demonstrations. There are people who've never demonstrated before, but they're totally offended by what's going on. outraged by what's going on.
As I've said, the government has gone too far.
They're taking action sometimes for the first time.
They blew it.
And so we'll go to Philadelphia, right? You know, here's the picture of the slavery exhibit there at the old president's house in Philadelphia, which is another monument supposed to be in cooperation with the city of Philadelphia. The feds come in, slavery, Washington having slaves, we're taking it down. So they went to court, and the judge there in
our side went to court.
Yes, our side went to court, and the judge Cynthia Rufe, really Roof R-U-F-E, really torched Trump on this. I mean, what did she say? It was a really blistering thing. She said it was Orwellian what they were doing, erasing history. The federal government does not have the power it's claiming to dissemble and disassemble historical truths. You know, she really, it's a brilliant decision.
Well, it's just.
She's saying this thing has got to go back up now.
Well, it makes perfect sense. And it is only the right wing and Trump who are doing crazy stuff.
And she's also saying, you made an agreement with the city of Philadelphia on this. This was a cooperative thing. Same thing here in New York.
Yep.
You made an agreement with the city of New York. You got to abide by it.
Well, as you know, they follow no laws and no rules, and they will just do what they want as long as they can.
So on President's Day, there was a huge anti-Trump rally blocking Fifth Avenue in front of Trump Tower. This is mostly Rise and Resist and our friends and others.
It just no traffic allowed through. They had to be detoured around. This fills the full Fifth Avenue in front of Trump Tower. Here was Trump's opportunity to go out and shoot someone on Fifth Avenue.
God, don't give him any ideas.
He doesn't need me.
He doesn't need any ideas because he's, you know, he's still pushing this Jeremy Carl, who is to be what is the position? U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for International Organizations at the Department of State. This thug who has made the most racist statements imaginable.
He wrote a book called The Unprotected Class, How Anti-White Racism is Tearing America Apart.
And he also went after lesbian labor leader Randy Weingarten, who was the head of the American Federation of Teachers. If the U.S. were a serious nation, Weingarten would be tried for crimes against America's children and would get the death penalty.
That's because she was in favor of shutting down schools for COVID.
Oh, but he's not very fond of Jews either. The Jews love to see themselves as oppressed. Jews have loved to see themselves as the victim rather than accept that they're participants in history. This alienated Republican Senator John Curtis of Utah, who said this is insensitive, unacceptable, so he's not going to support him. I don't think they can get this through.
I don't think so either. He was called to a Senate hearing on this nomination and confronted with, well, what do you really mean by all this culture problems?
Well, you know,
everything?
we have different foods, you know, than they do.
And different churches and different music. Immigration is killing white culture.
Right.
Now, this is exactly what they've been saying now for decades.
They've been saying it for centuries in this country.
Well,
look what we did to the Chinese when they came
exactly.
in here and built the railroad.
Yep.
All right.
So,
we don't know where the government impasse over the Department of Homeland Security is at this point.
But, and here's my favorite new quote from Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem and her little boyfriend, Corey Lewandowski. Kristi Noem says, we're going to protect elections so that the right people will vote for the right people.
Right. And, you know, as has been documented by the Wall Street Journal, I mean, they are now renting a jet for them for a $70 million plane, and they now want to buy it for them to jet around the country to screw in the back of the plane. And they're married to other people. None of this seems to bother the blue noses and the Christian among the so-called Christians.
Meanwhile,
the Office of Management and Budget Director, Russell Vogt, took $15 million in unlawfully impounded money that Congress had appropriated for U.S. Agency for International Development that fed starving Germany for his security detail. This is what they're doing. They're all setting themselves up as sort of, you know, grandees and local princes.
And pocketing a lot of money, too.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So
we have no clean air rules. I mean, these are huge stories.
They are. And the Heritage Foundation, which brought us Project 2025, now wants to outlaw all treatment of trans people across the board, across the nation,
and
completely outlawed.
They're eliminating testing for cancer-causing chemicals in makeup now and skincare products.
Eliminating. Okay.
All right.
Let's take a breather and look at Representative Pramila Jayapal, who has a trans child and who is proposing the Trans Bill of Rights in the Congress. And we liked her speech, so we'll show you a little of that.
To trans people everywhere, I also want you to know this. Those people are threatened by your strength, by your joy in being fully who you are. Those who fight against trans people are just jealous of the freedom that they have taken to be fully who they are. And so those people just want to destroy that rather than imagine what it would be like to be fully who they are. Wise words from our young people. So today, the Trans Bill of Rights makes those freedoms we all deserve as clear as the paper they are written on. And we intend to continue this fight until we win this fight.
Very nice.
We just got a nice shout out from Rob Shooter. Thanks, Rob. All right.
Was that Rob Shooter?
Yes.
Okay. Running through some trans headlines. In Indiana, the Bureau of Motor Vehicles is banning trans license changes, even if you have a court order that allows it.
We're going down the states.
Yeah.
Idaho is moving a bill that would negate local LGBTQ rights ordinances in 14 cities and two counties that ban the discrimination. It's an outrage. It's so much for local control.
Possible good news from Kansas, where the Democratic governor, Laura Kelly, has vetoed an anti-trans bill that covers bathrooms, locker rooms, driver's licenses, birth certificates, $1,000 bounty for turning people in.
But they have the votes to overturn her veto.
Well, but they have failed to overturn her previous vetoes of bills like this. So I recognize the tenor of the times is different now, but she is asking very strongly. And they have a trans woman in the legislature now, Allie Boatman. Actually, I'm not sure whether it's a trans woman or a trans man, but Allie Boatman said, I have sat here for 5.5 hours and listened to this entire room debate my humanity and my ability to participate in the most basic functions of society. And from the bottom of my heart, I hope none of you ever have to sit through something like that.
Did we do Georgia?
No.
Well, Georgia, so this is news because, you know, they're not just going after trans health care for minors. They want to end it for everybody. And they passed it on a party line vote.
And in New York City, the NYU Health Center Hospital last year started not taking new patients, trans youth, for medical care under all these threats from the Trump administration. This week, they announced they are ending all care for all trans patients.
Well, since Mayor Mamdani, when he was just an assembly member, was at the big rally against all this back in a year ago, I hope that he will still allow it at city hospitals. We have a huge municipal hospital system. And this was the week that he announced the appointment of out lesbian Anna Maria Archila as Commissioner of International Affairs. We have a picture of the two of them from 3 years ago at the Statue of Liberty, Anna Maria and the mayor. She was born in Colombia, but she's a great progressive leader.
She's been the head of the Working Families Party, right?
Yeah, well, that's among other things that she has done, yes.
He's appointing a lot of women.
Make the Road was her big organization.
Yes.
So we love her. She's been on the show.
Yeah.
And, he's putting people into these international situations who have values that America used to have.
In Worcester, Mass., U.S. Memorial Health Hospital has canceled adult vaginoplasties. In good news, the American Academy of Pediatrics has announced that it continues to support patient choice on trans youth care, as opposed to the plastic surgeons and the other group, the AMA, that said they think it should be stopped. The American Academy of Pediatrics is standing up for the trans youth and their families.
Okay. Anderson Cooper is leaving 60 Minutes after turning down an offer from CBS News to renew his contract. He gave some, thing, I want to spend more time with my kids. We have to think it has something to do with Barry Weiss taking
Rob
over
Shooter
there.
Is the one who says he was pushed out. His life was made miserable at CBS just by them delaying his stories on 60 Minutes and going over them with
nobody wants to work.
Comb.
They're just like nobody wants to work for the Department of Justice if they have any integrity or any other federal department.
Please, I quit CBS 40 years ago.
Because?
They were intellectually bankrupt.
There you go. But
ahead of my time.
Anderson.
Right. And here's a little footnote. You remember the story of the female astronaut whose wife back on Earth was accusing her of, going into her bank account and doing bad stuff. And then the Earthbound wife got prosecuted for lying. Well, now she's been sentenced to 3 months in prison, $210,000 restitution. She is finally going to have to face her crimes.
Right. Well, should we talk about people we've lost?
A couple of things first. Gallup says that 9% of the U.S. population self-identifies as LGBTQ. That's always an undercount still.
As the Lesbian Avengers used to say, 10% is not enough. Recruit, recruit, recruit.
Well, the majority of that 9%, 5.8, is bisexual or identifies as such.
We're just old-fashioned gays and lesbians, but we know most of you identify as bisexual.
Now, don't we want to – let's start with Jesse.
Yeah, I mean – right on the cover of the above the fold on the New York Times, a thundering voice for civil rights with a rainbow vision. Rainbow. Rainbow was the symbol of his organizations.
There a fight over that?
I don't remember that. I don't remember a fight over that. But, I mean, we have a picture of him with some gay leaders here. I mean, that's me and Alan Roscoff and Jesse. That is the morning of the inauguration of David Dinkins. So Jesse Jackson
ran... As mayor of New York.
Jesse Jackson ran these two groundbreaking presidential campaigns, which set the tone for the Democrats having the capacity to nominate better people, more representative of the country. But it also paved the way for David Dinkins in New York in 1989, Doug Wilder in Virginia, and a guy named Barack Obama in 2008.
And Carol Moseley Braun as a senator from Illinois.
All that. Opened it up to black elected officials because his campaigns registered so many people to vote because they finally had somebody to vote for, somebody who stood for something.
And just made possibilities visible.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Absolutely. And he was involved in so many progressive causes. Anyway, why don't we show his speech? Now, here's the thing. We had a march on Washington in 1987.
Second big one.
No, for lesbian and gay rights, that's what it was called.
Yep.
No major public official spoke at that thing. I mean, I Nancy Pelosi was there. She'd just been elected from San Francisco. But Jesse was the most prominent ally who spoke at that thing.
You have asked for the participation of those who care. And I'm here because I care. In 1963, there was a giant march in front of Lincoln Memorial, and I was there because I cared. April 25th, there was a tremendous march to say no to intervention in Central America and free South Africa, and I was there because I cared. I was with farmers an hour earlier this morning because their backs are against the wall. And I stand with them because I care. And you gather here tonight in tremendous numbers of tens of thousands. And I'm here tonight because I care. I come because you ask me. I come because I disagree with those who try to divide us, who want to isolate you or me, or to anyone else who is different. America is not a blanket, all one color of uncut cloth, all red or white or blue. America is a quilt made up of many patches, many pieces, many colors, many sizes, many textures, but everybody fits. Everybody counts. Everybody must have equal protection under the law in the real America. There are those who would isolate differences, desecrate our humanity, and then justify their inhumanity, just as the Nazis did with yellow stars and pink triangles. It was not right in Nazi Germany. Surely it's not right in America.
So that was the end of a gay cable network show in 1987. It's not there on Union Square anymore.
No, we are not on Union Square East.
Yes. And by the way, the shout out that you got was from another Rob, not Rob Shooter.
Okay. Now, Jesse also worked with ACT UP, much to people's astonishment. A couple of things. He worked on ACT UP, put on a big campaign about access to drugs, life-saving drugs in around the world when our government was on the side of the pharmaceutical companies that wanted to keep prices high everywhere. And he got involved with ACT UP in fighting that and fighting for access to anti-HIV drugs around the world. And then there was a specific thing where ACT UP was mad because Haitian refugees who were fleeing Haiti were being picked up by the United States, tested for HIV without permission, just grabbed, and then sent to Guantanamo if they were HIV positive. Guantanamo for being HIV positive.
So Jesse was at this demonstration with Susan Sarandon and Eric Sawyer and Roger McFarlane and Dennis DeLeon, all these people. Jonathan Demme was in this demonstration. A lot of black pastors were there.
Celebrity demo, yes.
Well,
to get attention.
But they got arrested.
Yes, they did.
And they were put in cells.
And there he is getting arrested.
But they were put in cells, and then Mayor Dinkins comes down there and says, President Clinton wants you to, you know, come out and just,
well,
you know.
They were going to let some of them out, and Jesse said, no, don't let them let you out until the government agrees to let all these people out of Guantanamo. Stick together. Solidarity.
Right.
And then Dinkins came down and said to Jesse, you have to talk to Clinton. He wants to talk to you. So he went off and talked to Clinton. He came back with a compromise where Clinton would release some of the people and then continue to work on getting all of them out. And that's what happened.
They got concessions.
They did.
That's how you do it.
Yeah.
Solidarity, folks.
Yeah.
Okay. Some other people that we lost. A great American, Jesse Jackson. Some other people who lost, a really pioneering, pre-Stonewall, a legendary Buffalo lesbian activist, Bobby Prebus, P-R-E.
Prebus, I think.
Who was really the last of the living pre-Stonewall bar, it says here, dykes, and the last living woman interviewed in boots of leather, slippers of gold. She began her activism, there she is on the right in the picture, in the 1950s. And
her wife, Liz Kennedy, on the left, she... Joan Nessel writes about how they were all a big girl gang and
yes.
created the Lesbian Herstory Archives.
Well,
a little older.
I mean, when Buffalo was trying to put together a Mattachine Society, which was a pre-Stonewall group, Bobby became the first person to sign the membership roll because people didn't want to do it.
Exactly. Again, pre-Stonewall. She was a steel worker for a while and just very, very active, very out, very... unapologetic, and...
Did we show the other picture
in
there?
Yes, we did.
Okay, all
yeah.
right. And then we read...
She died... I thought I had her... 87.
And then Hudson Talbot, who's died at 76, he wrote and illustrated very wide-ranging children's books, which some of them were made into movies, and one of them by Steven Spielberg. Steven Spielberg. He is survived by his husband, Jay Lessinger, who was an opera director, but author of more than 20 children's books, grew up with dyslexia, which kind of made him kind of isolated, but he made these wonderful illustrations that captured the hearts, certainly, of children. He said, if I could go back in time, I would try to say to me as a little boy, don't be ashamed of your dyslexia. There's nothing to be ashamed of. You are who you are, and you read the way you read.
He adapted these Sondheim's Into the Woods for kids.
Yes.
And he illustrated an autobiographical book for Jackie Woodson about her family, generations of quilters.
And another one called Forging Freedom, a true story of heroism during the Holocaust. He had covered the waterfront.
And then Suzanne Lessard died at 81.
Yes.
An author, writer, wrote for The New Yorker, wrote a memoir called The Architect of Desire, Beauty and Danger in the Stanford White Family. She was a member of the Stanford White family. There she is standing on a balcony of a Stanford White building. She died of endometrial cancer and left her wife, Noelle Brennan.
But she was out forever.
Yeah.
She wrote one of the first articles about the gay liberation movement just a little over a year after the uprising in 1970. We're going to link to it in our email. Go to
Gay is Good for Us All.
Yes. She observes the march that was held in 70, and she said, it's the first big holiday from the closet.
Well, she also, this book was all about sexual abuse and dysfunction in the Stanford White family. It was quite outrageous and scandalous at the time. People were just shocked that she would write about all this. But she said, I was not willing to spiritually and creatively die in order to spare my father this pain. I was unable to thrive. I was unable to have a life. Until she wrote about this. She's quite a fascinating character. I was sorry not to know her.
Yes. And then veteran theater journalist Harry Hahn has died at 85, survived by his husband, Charles Nelson. He was perhaps best known for his long and influential tenure at Playbill for 37 years. And he had bylines of the Daily News, The Observer, amongst others. He covered Liz Smith's column when she was on vacation.
And I was sorry to read about the loss of Frederick Wiseman, the great filmmaker, 96. He may be most familiar. His gayest thing may have been about Jackson Heights, the documentary about Jackson Heights.
A neighborhood in Queens with a large gay population.
He was famous. The first one he made was Titicut Follies, about a mental hospital in Massachusetts, which was banned because it was so explicit and because it showed patients and they were afraid about privacy.
He would take a camera and put it on one shot while things were happening for 20 minutes. So his films
at
were
least.
Unusual, but very detailed.
High school, public housing, domestic violence. These are the names of the films, and they were all just utterly riveting, utterly
yes.
riveting. Right. Frederick Wiseman, a giant in the documentary film
okay.
industry.
The Olympics?
Sure, let's
well,
do
well, that bisexual downhill skiing gold medalist Breezy Johnson got engaged at the Olympics, and it's a boy. Johnson's boyfriend, Connor Watkins, proposed at the base of the slope, and Johnson tearfully accepted.
So the right-wing Republicans are all blasting the U.S. athletes who were honest about their mixed feelings about performing for the U.S., because they're not happy about everything that's happening here. I applaud them. I think they're wonderful. Report on the one out trans performer, you know, skier, Sweden's trans man, Ellis Lundholm, who was skiing as a woman because he is not on hormones. And he finished 25th in freestyle mogul skiing and didn't qualify for the finals, so much for don't let the trans men into women's sports.
And bisexual figure skater Amber Glenn, who won gold with her team and got attacked for being candid about the crises in our country, she's just dropped off social media because she's getting so many attacks. And who's she getting attacks from? People who are trashing this nation and everything it ever stood for.
Exactly. She's in the middle of her competition, so you may know more about that when you see this. Sorry to see the Ukrainian skeleton guy DQ'd for a political helmet because he had dead people on the helmet.
Who were Ukrainian soldiers who
yes.
died. And he got an extremely high honor from President Zelensky
yes.
back in Ukraine.
And a big donation equivalent to what he would have won if he'd been allowed to compete. The Olympic Village has run out of free condoms in 3 days.
No.
3 days! There are a lot of gay men at the Olympics, evidently.
Gay men? Well, everybody needs them.
Of course. I'm just
all right.
making a comment.
Okay.
And the IOC, the International Olympic Committee, is about to announce a new trans policy for trans women, not individual sport choice. You can't just figure out whether you're appropriate for a sport. They're going to make a blanket ban. They're not going to look at gender identity or testosterone levels. They're just going to say you must compete as your sex at birth.
Oh, sex at birth.
And for
sex at birth. So this means trans men have to compete at sex at birth?
Yes. Just as all these bathroom bills across the country want trans men to use women's restrooms. I just want to start circulating a few pictures of trans men.
Of what that looks like.
Yes. But for Olympic updates, go to outsports.com.
Well, at least the right wing's got, when a trans man comes into a women's room, as they're now supposed to, some women, the right wing, are going to scream, there's a man in here.
Yeah.
And they can say, no, there's not.
I am female at birth. You're the ones who want me here.
All right. International news.
Yes.
Very good news from the European Parliament, where they adopted a resolution for priorities going into the UN Commission on the Status of Women, saying trans, essentially, they want the full recognition of transgender women as women, which is, of course, also attracting attacks from the global right.
But we're going to bring this to the UN Commission on the Status of Women meeting in March here in New York. We'll look forward to that. And the European Union officially banned homophobia in all member states. This is a legal mandate. Each country in the European Union must combat discrimination and hatred.
Which doesn't make all those right-wing leaders over there happy.
No.
So, in the United Kingdom, the High Court ruled that transgender women are lawfully permitted to use public women's restrooms, except at work. I mean, it's just, it's all just nuts.
Well, people are just twisting themselves into knots to come up with something that sounds good, but doesn't make any sense.
And then also in the United Kingdom, the Church of England has abandoned its work for LGBTQ equality. They just said, oh, it's too tough, too divisive, so we're not doing it. We know it's painful for us. Well, you know, your job is to inflict pain. You know, obviously they're kowtowing to their right.
So to speak.
So the Archbishop of Canterbury, Sarah
But Malali. The German Chancellor, Merz, has stood up against the MAGA people and says the MAGA movement culture war is not ours. Thank you.
He said the leadership claim of the U.S. is being challenged, perhaps already lost, he said.
But Trump...
We Germans know a world in which might makes right would be a dark place.
Well, Trump is, I think he doesn't like J.D. Vance anymore.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's because of the way he's portrayed on South Park.
Could be. But Trump has Rubio doing his bidding now, and Rubio's a little smoother, although really just as outrageously right-wing.
Yeah, why
as
anybody
else.
at this big conference stood up for him and applauded, give him a standing ovation because he sounded vaguely less crazy. But it's
and then he
struggle.
Trots off to Hungary to support Viktor Orban, who's up for re-election this spring.
Viktor Orban is in April, and they have an election there in Hungary, and Viktor Orban is
April
on the rope.
April is spring.
I know. Viktor Orban, I'm just saying how soon it's coming up. Viktor Orban is on the ropes.
I know. Shocking.
But Rubio pledged total fealty to Orban because the president likes him.
Sorry to see that the killer in the big massacre at Tumblr Ridge in British Columbia, the school shooter is an 18-year-old trans woman, Jessie Van Roots.
Well, you know, of course, the right wing is going to play up that, you know, anytime a trans person does anything wrong, horrible, these are horrible crimes. But they never say that a killer is cisgendered or heterosexual or whatever. They just never say it.
It's totally disproportionately cisgender. But they had concerns about her. They had visited her home several times because of complaints. They had taken away guns from the house, and then they brought them back.
Who brought them back?
The cops. Whew. And then she went out and shot people.
All right. All right. Okay, so we've told you about, you know, all the... wait a minute. Did we do the HHS? Yeah. So
no, but we haven't finished with international news yet. In the UK, the government hid a report of a spike in trans youth suicides after a court ruling that said youth under 16 could not consent to puberty blockers. And after that, the youth suicide rate, I mean, it was only a few, nine in the previous years, went up to 22. But that's, of course, a significant
And these
rise.
Are the people who are supposedly concerned about health.
Right, exactly. Hallelujah, Dr. Helen Weberly in the UK made a formal complaint to the General Medical Council about Dr. Hilary Cass and her report on trans youth care.
Her put-up job.
Exactly, which we recognized as soon as it was
Which
issued.
Was embraced by the government immediately. Oh, a doctor is saying we shouldn't do this. Let's not do it.
And then
It's just like what's happening with corporations in America. Oh, we can't do DEI anymore? Great! We don't really like doing it anyway. We want to hire who we want, our friends.
White friends. But she has now, Dr. Weberly has said, look, Dr. Cass has absolutely no qualifications, no experience to report to construct a report like this. It's total garbage. And you have now done policies across the country that just punish trans kids and their families, and she's issued a formal complaint.
And, you know, the right wing has been very successful on this if you look at the polling. I mean, they've gotten people to believe this is all wrong, and it's going to be hard to claw it back.
The soccer referee in Germany who got attacked at home after proposing to his boyfriend on the field was attacked again, a second time. He was supposed to be getting protection after the first time, but he was attacked a second time. So now they've finally moved him somewhere and given him police protection. But the thugs are just after him. And in Turkey, the presidential symphony orchestra canceled a performance with a countertenor because he was too gay-looking.
Oh, I know. I mean, you talk about soccer, of course, throughout the world, you know, famous for shouting homophobic slurs from the stands. All right. In AIDS news, or in health news, 25 people were arrested protesting those Health and Human Services rules that ban gender-affirming care for youth.
There's their proposed ban.
Well, I mean, the comment period ended yesterday.
And that's why they did the demo then. And NYU has ended care for trans people because they are afraid their federal funding will be threatened. The feds are also demanding all patient information. They've been doing this with hospitals and states around the country, threatening prosecution for consumer fraud and charging that these hospitals are mutilating children. They're not.
Kudos to the Food Grant Committee of Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS, because they in this crisis where all funding is being withdrawn for food programs, they awarded $3.2 million to 158 food pantries, meal delivery organizations around the country.
Thank you, Danny Whitman and Broadway Cares. Excellent work carrying on the work of Tom Viola.
But, you know, the Secretary of Health and Human Services, Robert Kennedy, did have good news about germs. He's not scared of them. I used to snort cocaine off of toilet seats. He said this in an interview that was recorded. And there is no, I mean, this is just, this is okay.
A couple of quick notes before we get to your O'Mary review. In Seattle, the opera version of Fellow Travelers is opening February 21st, then going to Portland, San Diego, and Glimmerglass in New York. And in the lobby of the theater, installations of Lavender Scare victims. And Kristen Stewart says, I wasn't hiding being a lesbian, but I came out explicitly because I refuse to participate in a system that excludes people. There are people that don't get full access to being alive because they're hiding. People wanted me to protect my career, so you want me to live a partial life? I can't.
So another new cast in O'Mary, which is Cola Scola's great madcap comedy. And now it's John Cameron Mitchell. You may remember him from Hedwig and the Angry Inch, which he wrote. And
15 seconds.
Started. And look, it's still a great show. People are having a great time at it. Enjoy it.
Okay. Sorry, Lincoln, we stole your time.
Lincoln has gotten campier.
See you next week.